Blog Talk Radio.
FM and Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. This is the Soul in Sports, people. It's been a long time since I've opened up like that, and I feel great. This is the show after Mania. This is the show you want to tune into, get locked into, people, the day after the greatest WrestleMania of all time, a.k.a. Kofi Mania. We're going to talk the granddaddy of them all, winners, losers, as I wear my heart on my sleeve. I want to break down and even open up the dialogue to our Paul Pierce. I almost said R when I said truth, right? I put in my notes truth. Paul Pierce thinking he's better than Dwayne Wade. Your thoughts, these NBA votes going around, the NCAA Final Four. No one cared about it over the weekend because it wasn't North Carolina, Kentucky, or Duke, or Michigan State, or Georgetown for our local listeners. So no one cared, but we got Texas Tech versus Virginia. Virginia, we shouldn't care about because this is the whole state. Could they go from being the first seed to lose that number two or number 16 seed to actually going back and winning the tournament? Of course they can because no number one ever lost a number 16 seed. So can they right the wrong that was last year? Also, best and worst of the weekend. But people, you already know where that lies. What is the best and worst of the weekend? I'll just play it one more time. That's all. I'm just going to play it one more time.
There it is.
Bryant is barely moving.
Entering the champion. Kobe did it. Kobe.
Yeah. 11. Kofi Kingston. He's done it, man. His brother's by his side.
If you do not understand or care to take the chance to understand the significance of last night, I'm sorry, Forbes magazine. You are a little bit, you're correct, but incorrect in the fourth black WWE champion of all time. Because other titles wasn't WWE, okay? You're okay, Joy Taylor of Fox Sports Zone, The Hurt, your beautiful little thing, you. He's not the second with The Rock. But you know what? He is, technically. Right? Technically speaking, The Rock was the first African-American champion on television. But I take you into the minds of a 10-year-old little girl. And I said to this 10-year-old little girl, hey, who's that? That's The Rock. Everybody knows The Rock. I said, is he black, white? What do you think he is? I don't know what he is. He's just The Rock. What do you see when you see Kofi Kingston? That's a black man. It's that easy, people. What the company wants you to be or allow you to be, you will be. Congratulations to black excellent Kofi Kingston winning the WWE Heavyweight Championship of the World, baby! Welcome, 347-637-3859. Well, you know how I feel. I want to hear from you again. 347-637-3859 is the number to call in. But as always, people, I'm not here alone. I am joined here in the host state in Virginia. His mama calls him Micah. You can find him on Emmy Richard on the Twitter, holding 1340 AM down today. No trivia. He's here for the show after Mania. What's going on, Micah?
We cannot be sour. We can clap for the first black WWE champ and feel the power.
I'm happy. Very much so.
It's more than just being happy. Like, I think people need to understand. Like, I feel sorry. I do. I feel because I know certain people. And I said this to you guys before. I dabble. I understand Counting the Rock. I understand it. But there is a huge demographic of blacks that I do understand where they're coming from. Okay, so this is very significant. And yes, I know people were tired of always hearing the first this and the first that. Well, guess what? Now you don't have to hear it. Okay? It's over. So also welcome to the program live from the DMV. We know they'd pull his ass over if he ain't got no ID. What's going on, Wale?
What's going on, folks? Everybody's happy. I like a happy house, man. Everybody's ecstatic. I like that. Kofi Mania, man. Big ups to Kofi, man. Big ups to him. You know what I like about it, too? I like that Kofi hasn't – they haven't, like, broken up the New Day. I'm a big fan of that.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about it as well. And also, I'm going to get him on right now, Ralph, real fast while the music is playing in the background because y'all already know what it is. It's the show after Mania. It's WrestleMania weekend. One, the Belt King. Hell, I'm going to stop right here and right now. I'm a Belt King, okay? I am a Belt King. He is the Belt Emperor from the Wrestling Marks of Excellence, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Nephew Corey?
What's going on? You have to excuse my voice, as always, because it's just starting to come back.
I'm about to say, excuse your voice. You were at WrestleMania last night. You're going to Raw tonight. You did the whole weekend, the Hall of Fame. Your voice, I'm amazed you're even talking to us right now, brother. How you feel?
Man, let me tell y'all something. And this is how real it was inside of there. I marked in the most kayfabest of formats you possibly could when that three went down, when Kofi won. And here's the other real part of this. Everybody in my section, all colors, were hugging each other, jumping up and down. Everybody. Like, Kofi Mania literally, even for 30 seconds, could possibly ended racism for that whole celebration. Seriously.
I can imagine.
That's how big it was. It was amazing.
Let me interrupt you for a second and ask you this, because I heard this today. And I didn't think it at the time, but when I heard it, I definitely agreed with it. Hey, you were there, I believe, at Rock and Hogan, correct?
Yep.
Was
this the most electrifying
crowd since then? I'm sorry?
You said what? I wasn't at 18, but
okay.
But go on. What was the question?
Well, people said they felt like it was Rock and Austin. I mean, it was Rock and Hogan. That's how the crowd was. Once Kofi won, nothing else mattered. They could have did anything else in this company. It didn't matter because Kofi went over.
Honestly, as ironic as it is, it felt like WrestleMania 30 when Daniel Bryan won. That's really how it felt. When there was not a single boo in the house of anybody booing him. Everybody was sure. That's what it was last night. When Kofi won, that place erupted. No cheer even comes close that night. Not even Becky. When Kofi won, that was it. That was the show. That was the end of the show, realistically, right there.
Right.
Everything, I mean, Becky's, I'm not going to take away from Becky's win, But nothing compares to that. That moment.
Well, everything we knew Becky was slated to win, that was going to happen. I'm not sure if you heard it because I know you stay away from a lot of those things. And you and I also echo hashtag depth of dirt sheets, but, you know, they still come across you. But I heard from people that I do trust in the business that says that wasn't supposed to happen. And it wasn't, but they wanted to still keep Ronda strong. But then I went back and I watched Mania. I'm not sure if you had a chance to watch it or go back to some of these calls. You know, being the biggest thing about wrestling sometimes is the calls at the end. And Michael Cole let it say, well, her undefeated streak is no more. Is that something you think it was on the – he had to say because it happened because it was true? Does this give Ronda a leg to stand on for tonight going into Raw after Mania? Because now we got last night, we got to move forward into the day where you're on your way to. What are you excited about seeing today? Do you think that's, you know, that's kayfabe and what's going on with Ronda Rousey? What's your thoughts about the whole thing moving forward into tonight? Did we lose Corey?
I think so.
Okay. I thought, okay. All right. Well, hopefully he'll call back in. That was a big loaded question, but there it is. There it is right there. 347-637-3859. My son brought me this new Gatorade, this zero thing.
Yeah.
And the best Gatorade ever. I'm sorry, son. Do you not know what the green apple Gatorade tastes like? I'm just saying. That thing's cool.
Green apple is bomb. I ain't going to lie. Green apple is bomb.
Listen, mix green apple and some apple Ciroc. Trust me, you'll thank me later. That's all I'm
okay.
saying.
Okay, I'm going to try that.
So good.
You got to put that in the chat so I can make sure I remember it because I'm going to forget.
Yeah, see. Keep on, you're listening. Can you put that in the chat? Green apple Gatorade and apple Ciroc. It's amazing. Not amazing, amazing. But again, guys, last night was a epic night. Everything that took place last night. We needed to happen. We always hit a thing for the culture. But what's bothered me today, guys, and before we go deep into the wrestling, is the need to have to explain this to people, right? And what the significance of what this meant for wrestling fans, right? So at the risk of sounding redundant, right, I'm going to repeat this to you guys again. And again, I'm going to state the obvious. I'm going to state facts. Right? Because when people say you're unfactual or get your facts straight and things like that, and I say, well, my facts aren't incorrect. My facts are not incorrect. Your facts that you believe you are reading are misleading. That's what we tell you. What's that saying, stats lie or stats don't lie, people do? Well, that's a lie. Stats can be inflated. Not taking nothing away from Russell Westbrook's, you know, which I think people really need to get a ball for Russ alone. What Russell Westbrook has done is amazing. And we thought what Oscar Robertson did for one season was amazing. Well, Russell's now done it for three straight years, ever since he lost Kevin Durant. Okay, he is the complete package. But we know some of the triple-doubles he had got, at least in that first year, they were manufactured, right? So when you look at certain things and stats, things are manufactured for a reason. But to know wrestling, to be a wrestling fan, these are the things you have to be. You can't be, let's say, Jay Chris, for instance, right? Spoke to him today on the Philadelphia show that he hosts, GoPhilly.com show. Spoke to Rev T today at the Sports Revive. Y'all know Rev T, the big Redskins fan that calls in here during the Redskins season.
Mm-hmm.
To explain to them, to non-wrestling fans or to the person just watching the product, they will say, well, what do you mean? You had Booker T. He was world champion. You had Mark Henry. He was world champion. You had The Rock. How can you disrespect The Rock like this? Are you guys – why are you trying to blur the color lines here? Again, at the risk of sounding redundant, I'm not saying these guys wasn't champions. I love every one of these guys. If you look at my review on YouTube, you will see that I said this is for everybody, and I'm going to tell you why this is for everybody. This night was so significant. Yes, Becky – the women in the main event, proud of those ladies. Showing wrestling being more progressive by having the Iconics move forward and win the tag team titles. I understand wrestling. I understand wrestling more than the average wrestling fan. That's why my emotions are never too high or too low with the product. My emotions are towards the fans that say they love the product. That's where all my emotion goes. If you guys listen to the program, I'm never emotional about what they do or what they don't do, per se. I get confused by fans that don't understand the product, don't understand what they're watching. You go watch Avengers on April 26th, you should know what you're watching. You should not go into Avengers Endgame and not have watched Avengers 1, 2, and 3. You shouldn't have. You should not go watch Avengers Endgame without watching some of the most influential movies that led us to this point, because you wouldn't know what you're talking about. And that's what wrestling fans, it's like WrestleMania and wrestling fans, it's like the Super Bowl and the Final Four. You're watching it because it's the big event you're used to knowing about. But do you know the product? As black people, as black wrestling fans, we have never had the number one title in the company. So what does that mean? People say, what do you mean the number one title in the company? Well, let me explain it to you. The WWE had a rival. It was called the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance. It was bought out by Ted Turner, which turned it into WCW, World Championship Wrestling. Not Women Crush Wednesday, Wally. Okay? No, you can't, you know, stop with annihilation. Okay? World Championship Wrestling. Okay? So when that happened, that's competition. And what does Vince do? What any great boss should want to do, or what business people do in general, what it's like, you know, they absorb other companies. They bought WCW, or the way they would explain it, WCW, because it was a country promotion. Upon buying this company, we're talking about Vincent Kennedy McMahon, an arrogant man, not my words, what we are known him to be. Okay? A crude businessman, who holds grudges. Here go a company to try to put him out of business that took his best talents, Hulk Hogan, Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, Diesel, Kevin Nash, et cetera, and tried to put him out of business. So he acquired them through business models. He brought their title over. He brought their wrestlers over. When he brought their wrestlers over, he kicked some of them out the door from the first day. You're fired. No need to work here. I don't need you. He kept others, and he kept others, and he kept others just to keep them down. Okay, people? WrestleMania 17, Micah, am I correct? Was that WrestleMania 17? One of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Triple H was involved in a main event match with Booker T. Right? For, at that time, the number one title in the company. The storyline leading to that was there was a promo that was on Monday Night Raw where Ric Flair and Triple H were getting out of their limo they did all the time back in the Evolution days, and they saw outside the limo, they saw WrestleMania 19. Thank you, King Vaughn. What did I say, 17? I thought I said 17. Okay. And so showcasing this, Booker T's out there, make this story faster. And he goes, pick up my bags, boy, because that's what your people do. Making my point here, people, he bought a company to hold others down. So because they still did the right things, they made the right moves, they paid their dues. Mark Henry didn't go through that stuff. He paid his dues. He gave them this second title that was called World Champion. The company's belt is the belt that they give in wrestling to the guy they believe can be the figurehead for the company. The guy they can put on posters and comic books and book bags. That's the John Cena's, the Hulk Hogan's, the Ultimate Warriors, the Macho Man Randy Savage's of the world. KME on this program said on Friday, the plateau for a white wrestler to make it and to be that champion for the company is The Miz. Nothing from The Miz. I love The Miz. I'm a Miz fan. But if there was a black guy, and we've seen black guys like The Miz, they wouldn't have made it. The plateau to be a black champion for a black man, you have to cross all the T's and dot all the I's like The Rock. Dwayne Johnson. Yes, I said Johnson because his dad is Rocky Soul Man Johnson. They never displayed that. The Rock is built on television. I'm not saying about what The Rock says. Yes, we believe The Rock is black. We know The Rock is black. He's half black. He's half Samoan. Taking nothing from that, people. Okay? The company and the storyline shows The Rock as we don't know. But we know he's Samoan. But we don't know he's black. Because they never show you his black side. Hell, if you want to dive deeper into wrestling fans that say that you know more than I or eyes like myself, The Rock's gimmick came from Elvis Presley. Think about it, people. Okay? Ahmed Johnson, Ron Simmons, Booker T, Bobby Lashley, just to name a few, Ron the Truth Killings, could have been the figurehead for that company. But let me think. MVP went to prison. Booker T went to prison. Okay, I'll give you those reasons. If that's what you want to do, it's your company. So what? Okay, I understand that. Sheldon Benjamin couldn't be that guy. All-American went to Minnesota. Bobby Lashley is built exactly. I believe he's a veteran for our United States service. As a matter of fact, he is. He couldn't be world champion. He's not world champion material. Bobby Lashley checks all the boxes, except for mic skills. But Brock ain't the greatest mic talker. What we're trying to say, people, is that identification, like you have to have in your pocket. Hey, Wally, you better have that ID in your pocket before they pull your black ass over, is important. It's important. We can identify with Kofi Kingston. It's why he is being heralded as the first black WWE champion to the majority of black wrestling fans in the world. Did you not see Shad Gaspar from the program's post? Did you not see MVP's post? Did you not see these grown men like myself, and they're better than me because they've been in the business, they know them personally, shedding tears for this moment? This meant a lot. So don't you dare come at King Von Jr. Don't you dare come at Jonathan Smith. Don't you dare come at Raheem. These are just random people I'm naming. Don't you dare come at Mike Knox to tell me get my facts straight, get myself together. Why are we happy for this moment? Did you not see that man's face in that ring? Did you not see his excitement for that? He knew the moment. He knew the moment.
Becky, let's start with you. What did this mean to you? Obviously, you have been such a huge part of the transition and the extraordinary rise of the role that women have played at WWE.
Can you remember the first thing that crossed your mind the second that bell rings? First thing that popped into your head when it happened and you knew it was real?
At the end of the match or in the beginning?
At the end
of the match. Oh, yeah. I don't remember. I just I was overcome with emotion. As soon as the ref hit the mat for the third time, I feel like I just kind of like lost control of my body. You know what I mean? I couldn't move, you know? It's almost like an exhale, you know, like a sigh of relief almost, because this has been such a long time coming. And I've wanted this for so long, and you get to a point where you don't know if it's going to happen. So then you try to convince yourself, well, I don't really need to be a champion. I don't really need to hold it. I've had a pretty good career so far. And that's not always the case. But at the end of the day, I think that we all want to be the best. And, you know, the sign that you are the best is to hold the WWE Championship. And we hold the WWE Championship.
Well, that's one of the things.
What else needs to be said, Wally? Micah, your take on last night as well.
Yeah, you know, just a couple of things. I mean, of course, we're not going to go into – I mean, if you want to go into every detail, we can. But just as far as your point, you know, if I may fully drive the wedge, as the guy on this call, on this phone, on the microphone, you know, whichever way I'm coming in through the waves – y'all know that I'm not always the average thinking black person. You know that I have different views and values than y'all. But yet I was there with you in full agreement that this was one of the best things to ever happen for a black wrestling fan. Why is that important? Well, folks, it's about optics. For example, and I'm going to throw this shot at him because I think he's a coward. He was a coward this season. He's pathetic, and I want him to be better. So being a coward like LeBron James, right, not fully embracing your responsibilities, you know, hear me out, not fully embracing your responsibilities or fully embracing who you are, fully embracing what you bring to the table in your position is bad and detrimental optic-wise. You're the veteran of that team. You're the man. You're the one who bring in rings. You're the one who's bringing in the experience of beating and being the only person who was a superstar, who's a superstar caliber player. GOAT conversation that came back from 3-1 in the NBA Finals. You're the only one to ever do that, okay? You have that moniker, yet you cowered out. I'm sorry. I love Rock the Dwayne Johnson, as our friends at WrestleTalk would say. But the brother had an opportunity to embrace openly his father. And for the paper, which I'm not going to knock him for getting his paper. For the paper, he embraced the Elvis persona. With the, you know, no black dude wear no chops, wear no sideburns like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the 70s they did. In the 70s they did. But he embraced the persona of the Samoan heritage. The tattoo he has is Samoan. The way he acts is not. The way he acts is Samoan. You look at his family structure, it has nothing to do with anything that's related to his dad. That could be because maybe he has hate for his dad. I don't know what his relationship is. But that is important. Now, a very smart YouTuber made the argument, but how come we consider Barack Obama black? Well, it's about optics. Barack Obama never denied that he was a brown-skinned man, that he had a black father that was African. He never actually denied that. He embraced the culture and the aspects of black people that he grew up with, even though he never really truly had a black experience going to many private schools in Hawaii and things like that. So he had a very privileged middle-class, upper-class existence, but he still understood and embraced the black aspects of his culture and of where he came from. That's why we can reach out and hang out with him. Folks, that's the difference. Same thing with Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods weren't black until he got his windshield smashed out of his car. By his standards and by ours, because he didn't embrace it. That's all we're saying. Don't get yourself in a little tizzy. When the company name was on the actual belt, it mattered the most. ROH did it with Jay Lethal. TNA did it. TNA did it with Bobby Lashley. And many other promotions that we can name that is not WWE put the title, the actual company title, on a black man, on a brown-skinned man, and ran with them. And every last one of them that did it delivered. Jay Lethal delivered. Bobby Lashley, his role, delivered. It was all good. So if you want to come at me, feel free. I'll be more than happy to go ahead and scorch earth. Be more than happy to go ahead and shut you down and make you feel like you need to vote for Trump in 2020. I'll turn you Republican the way I get you going. But anyway, outside of that, that's a joke, by the way. I don't know.
Right, I knew that.
Whatever. Yeah, well, some people like, oh my gosh, you're a black Republican. Ah, like, dude, shut up. So, fantastic for the moment with COVID.
I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I'm a hypocrite. So.
You're a hypocrite? You're hilarious.
I'm a hypocrite.
So you're like most of the people in Washington. I love it. So
pretty much.
Here's the thing. The Becky Lynch thing, I was on the finish, but I love the way they structured the match. Obviously, there was some sloppiness in there, some messiness in there, but it's okay. Those ladies did a fantastic job. I still think outside of Kofi, there's only two matches you can end the night with, Kofi or Becky. There was only two ways that could have went. I'm fine with giving the woman the spotlight, and it's a good because of the kind of star that you had in there. With the way they set things up, I'm excited for tonight to see if we get kind of like a one-on-one match that a lot of fans wanted anyway because they didn't want Charlotte involved. Just kind of redoing it and then have Becky really, really solidify that, no, I got both championships. Hey, Mike, did you see anybody else when the women's tag team titles came out that said anything about a unified champion that wasn't Mike, that wasn't this guy, Emmy Richmond? Did you see anyone else that even called that?
No. No, sir.
Oh, so let me go ahead and break my arm, patting myself on the back real quick. Because surely enough, your boy, who you know has some goddamn wrestling chops, I may not know all my history, but I can see stuff from a mile away. You have one set of women's tag team belts. You don't have enough women on both rosters in order to fulfill that requirement. So you're make a unified champion so that both goes between both brands. Hello, easy peasy lemon squeezy. But folks are like, nah, you ain't going to have it. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense that you're a wrestling fan and I'm better than you. But anyway, that was great. I wanted to bring my arm, pat myself on the back. The Seth Rollins win, I enjoyed the win. Some people are like, well, that doesn't fit his babyface persona. First of all, Seth Rollins has a very good tweener aspect going on with him. He has a very good tweener aspect that he can pull off in which he is the best way I can put this, in which he does whatever it takes to also win. Also, he had to do whatever it took to win because Seth Rollins was up against freaking Brock Lesnar. And every dude that was a speed guy against Brock Lesnar all gave him some sort of low blow in some way. Daniel Bryan gave him a low blow and started mauling him. Finn Balor didn't give him a really technical low blow, but he drop kicked him where he busted his rib cage to the side of corner of the announcer table and took advantage of it. Obviously, he lost, but still. And Seth Rollins, same thing. And plus, it's turnaround fair play. Brock Lesnar attacked him before the match even started. Therefore, giving Rollins the okay, even as babyface, they're like, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of this, and I'm going to take advantage of this ref bump, and I'm going to give him the low blow that he needs. And surely enough, one, two, three curve stomps, because Brock Lesnar's freaking Brock Lesnar. He deserves about 18 finishers in order for you to finish him off. It was great. Help me out here. I understand that they're funny, and I understand that they have very good charisma. I really just don't like the in-ring work, but at least they're not Nia Jax and Tamina. That was the only really downside to the main part of the pay-per-view for me.
Listen, Sasha's ass should have walked out and still champion. But they are hilarious.
Me neither.
They are hilarious.
I'll give them that. And I think, and you know, and it's okay that, you know, a group that was a tag team kind of like the whole time since NXT, when they really got together, a group that has more of a tag team persona should be tag team champions. It makes sense. Just I just want Tamina to retire. Just so bad. But anyway. I like Nia Jax. I don't like Tamina. She's just there.
Wow.
Like, you know, I feel like she's going to murder somebody because she's been so just – her ring rust hasn't came off yet. I think her legs are still creaking from the lack of oils that she has since she, you know, was out having her kids and stuff.
Something like that Samoan drop she dropped last night where she could have broke –
let me tell you. I thought these girls were going to die. You know, congratulations to the Iconics. No problem with that. The Randy Orton and AJ Styles match, Randy Orton cared, so it was a good match. But let me tell you something that was surprising. Now, the main goal of any WrestleMania since Shane's been back is that Shane has to almost die, otherwise it's not entertaining. And surely enough, you know, I didn't care about the stuff with Miz's dad, but I understand it's part of the story. But that's the first time I've really seen Miz, like, go that vicious on somebody.
He earned his chops for once. Miz never takes big bumps.
He really did.
He never takes big bumps, but he's never been injured. And he did that last night. And you anticipated last night. My kids are so intelligent. It was like, well, you can't have a WrestleMania without Shane jumping off of something. So then,
that's what it is.
So, I mean, last night to me was incredible. And last night to me was awesome. You asked the question, and I said, I put greatest WrestleMania of all time. And you said, because of the Kofi situation. And I put no others. The Kofi situation also, it does help it. It does incredibly help it. So for me, I look at, you know, but I got Batista, Triple H. I know people are saying, well, oh, they're not making stars, and you're always going to get your naysayers, and I don't care.
Hold on, but even I understand. And look, and this is one of the things that people talk about all the time. You know, I know that NXT is supposed to be the show for a person who really likes people who know how to wrestle and who knows how to really get in there and really grind it out. That's why I was really drawn to NXT, because it was a good wrestling show. WrestleMania, I already took wrestling out my brain and put it. Can I be entertained? And the majority of the show, I was entertained. For me, it wasn't 5 out of 5. It was a 4 out of 5, 4.5 out of 5, because I gave it my favorite title, which is the John Cena United States title spinner belt. I gave it that. I would give it that because overall, I thought it was a good show. It, you know, the 0.5 was for HH appearing because he was worthless, and it's running for 2 days. And, like, when I saw it at WrestleMania ran for 2 days, I was like, was this a church service at a Pentecostal church? This is a church service. This thing started at 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoon and ended on Monday morning. Everyone got prayer, breakfast, and everything. There were some people that didn't even get Ubers until 4 a.m. because they got stuck. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be there, but I was happy that I wasn't at the same time. But, yeah, I put it number one of all time. Wally, did you get a chance to finally catch it out? Or you read up on it so you don't really have that experience that we had from it?
I saw the Shane Miz match. I thought that was good. I thought it was really, really good, to be honest with you. I enjoyed Shane going after the father. Like, I enjoyed it. I liked because it played to the story of being the antagonist on Miz, and then Miz firing back, you know, with all that emotion. I thought it told a story. I thought that whole match told a big time story.
And that's exactly what wrestling is, storyline. And for you to get in there, catch that, see that, feel that passion, feel the being the antagonist of Shane McMahon, great analysis of that. My favorite part of the night, aside from Kofi Kingston, was the fact that the Usos finally got the recognition they deserved. Last year at WrestleMania, we thought, hey, they finally got a match at WrestleMania. We were all so happy. But we knew when we found out who they were going against, which was the Bludgeon Brothers, we knew they were going to lose the belts because the Bludgeon Brothers at that time were being built to be the best tag team. They hadn't lost. They just came out and destroyed everybody. So
yeah, they were nasty.
I felt the Usos didn't get their chance. They got their chance in this match, and it was a good match. I'll be honest with you. Take the Kofi Kingston match out of it. I would have to say the best match was the tag team title match because Cesaro and Sheamus stole WrestleMania. Okay, they next to Kofi Kingston, he held the Cesaro swing for at least 2 minutes, maybe three. And the whole time, everybody who jumped up in the ring, Sheamus just pummeled him with the chest clubbing blows. It was amazing.
Perfect.
Last night, the entrance was dope last night. At first, I saw the stage and I said, nah, that's whack. I don't like that. Why got to be a video stage? And then I seen Memorial Battle Royal. And Michael Shea coming in and how that was dark with the big bright light. And I remember, if you don't have an iPhone, please try to go find Can't Stop, Won't Stop by Diddy and watch the Diddy documentary towards the Bad Boy concert tour. And I will never forget how these guys worked for a week busting their butts to make Diddy happy. And Diddy walked in and said, this is trash. I do not like this. Tear the whole thing down. He said, when I see lights, I want to see lights like if God was standing right here. And it's just so bright, they just blind you, right? So when I saw this stage, I thought about Diddy instantly. Like, them is God lights. Them lights were so bright last night. Even Randy Orton had to send a tweet out to apologize for the lights being so bright during the arena. That's what the cheering and the noise was the light in the audience. And they were cheering because the light had finally went out in the crowd. Shout out to WWE, man. That stage was great. The entrances were great. The promos. Shout out to Batista going out the way he wanted to go out. He's openly put on Instagram and his social media that he's retiring right now. Shout out to the idiot just DM me on Facebook. I got too many Facebook friends I don't know in real life. I'm going to have to start trimming the fat, if you will, so to speak. Okay? I've never once said anything against me not being a Rock fan. My biggest thing, Wally, and you're a sports guy, we're going to debate some things later on. Why do every time, like, if you say Kobe versus LeBron, right, and someone says, well, I'm taking Kobe, why do people automatically think that you're dissing LeBron? You're not dissing.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't like that either. Like, I don't like that. Like, I don't like that at all. I feel like when you choose one or the other in any sport, like you said, people automatically think that you're a hater of the other person. You can like two people. Like, you can. You know? Like, to me, Magic's the best point guard of all time, best player of all time, whatever. But I'm on the same side saying Isaiah Thomas is one of the best players ever. It's not like I'm going to say that Isaiah Thomas wasn't up there with, like, Magic as a great point guard. You know what I mean? So
I just never got that. And never understood that. So I'm going to talk about that momentarily. But WrestleMania overall, just to finish that before we go into Raw after Mania and then get on to it. I want to talk about the NCAA. I got to talk about this because I think I'm one of the few people that thought it wasn't a foul. Okay, maybe that's just me. Okay, I didn't think it was a foul. Okay, the armoring guy. But WrestleMania 5 out of 5, Ultimate Warrior challenges titles. WrestleMania 6, to me, the greatest WrestleMania main event of all time. Not best WrestleMania match of all time, greatest main event of all time was that match. Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 6. And that's how good this was to me. I just thought for a show that you said started at 5 o'clock was the pre-show. Right, and I watched from 5 o'clock until 12:30. I didn't have a boring moment. My kids, my sons passed out. My daughter said, "Watch the whole thing," you know. And then my one son, I said, "Sam, go to bed, go to bed." No, I don't want. I gotta see Finn Balor. Like he woke up every time. Listen, no lie, I wish I had video. We love Finn Balor's entrance so much, right? When he comes out, right. So we're just doing this move. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Putting his hands up in the crowd. The lights go up. Out of nowhere, my son Christian just wakes up and starts standing up and puts his hands up like Finn Balor. True story. True story. My daughter and I was laughing. And then went right back to sleep after the entrance. Right back to sleep. Okay? So from top to bottom, I just thought it was a great, great, great show. I did. I mean, I've never stayed bored. Yes, it was somewhat predictable. But I think wrestling has been predictable for years now. And here's my thing for those who are complaining, and we know that was going to happen, and that's always going to happen. The one day of the year, I urge you not to complain about it. It's WrestleMania. WrestleMania used to – see, people used to always say, well, WrestleMania built stars. There's been 35 WrestleManias. Show me 35 WrestleManias where they built stars. Because I guarantee you through the first 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 WrestleManias, they didn't build stars. There were already stars going in. And everybody who was built – there's motion. There's things in sports people don't understand. You go through transitions. There's always good, the bad, and the ugly. And to be a fan of anything you're going to be a fan of this long and be this passionate about, you got to accept the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional wrestling. To
Hold
be
on,
a wrestling
question.
Fan, yeah. I want to get to that real fast. I want to tweet this. To be a wrestling fan, you have to accept the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional wrestling. That's how you become a fan. Go ahead.
No, you said something very interesting. When people said that WrestleMania was used to build stars, as long as I've been watching wrestling and being a wrestling fan and looking at it, I never saw WrestleMania as a place where stars are built. I always saw WrestleMania as a place where the star is solidified, and or we get to see the payoff for the superstar. Or the talent that we want to see the payoff for, whether it's a Hollywood Hogan getting his just desserts against The Rock in the iconic era passing the torch match, where it was John Cena being too cocky when he was doing The Rock at WrestleMania 28, and he got rock bottom, and he deserved it because he was being stupid and a stupid idiot. Whether it be CM Punk. CM Punk challenging The Undertaker becoming the best in the world, trying to take that one from under him with Paul Heyman in his corner. Like, it was these guys were already established going in. Like, there's a few people in the card that's like, you didn't want to be there. Like I didn't want Kurt Angle to go out on his Shield with Baron Corbin.
Right.
I thought it could have been better. But, we both agreed on Friday that Roman Reigns may most likely win, but Drew needs to win for future stuff. And they gave it to Roman anyway because of that. And we know why he gave it to him, though Drew could have used that win on that stage more. So all I can say is I put a bow on it. I don't ever recall WrestleMania ever being, they say it's the showcase of the immortals. Well, you have to get yourself to an immortal status for your memory to be lasting at a WrestleMania. That's why we remember Bret Hart. That's why I remember the Bret Hart Shawn Michaels match. That's why we remember the Stone Cold Rock matches. That's why I remember what Kurt Angle did at WrestleMania 17. That's why I remember Shane almost killing himself 8 times in a row. You know, because those are the moments that stick. Those are the moments that stick in your head, because the Miz winning the WWE Championship. Was it winning or retaining? I think it was retaining the WWE Championship against John Cena with a full concussion. You knew that he didn't realize where he was. When he realized he won, but it was hilarious. So you know these things because they already built themselves before they even
I've always thought the same thing. Like, when you're watching, and Wally, please, I know you kind of stay quiet on the wrestling talk, but please feel free. That's how I feel. When I would watch WrestleMania, I didn't get, oh, they're building this guy for me to watch in the future. I'm like, yo, this guy becomes a star on this stage, or that star shined brighter on this stage. Hogan slamming Andre didn't make – in totality, it made Hogan bigger. But to the world, Hogan was already big, and that just blew him up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finally beating him. Ultimate Warrior, you know, no one had beat him. Really, Hogan's record was like one of them high school basketball records. Like, King High School in the 90s was like 296-4, right? That was like Hogan. You know what I mean? So when he lost, it meant more. When you watch WrestleMania, did you think it built stars? Already showcased stars? When you thought of WrestleMania, do you think that's what it did or you didn't?
I thought it was up to the performer. I thought that if the performer, put on a good show, regardless win or lose, the following, within that, I guess after WrestleMania, as it comes in terms of SummerSlam and even getting built up to the next WrestleMania, that individual was now that dude or on the level of getting a push. So that's how I looked at WrestleMania. I felt like not just winning, but putting on a show. Like if you put on a show at WrestleMania, I think that you get the moniker of like, okay, you could be that dude. Like HBK started putting on shows at WrestleMania. That kind of propelled him to be HBK, the guy we know and love. Same when you mentioned Bret Hart. Sometimes it's not about just winning or losing. It's about putting on a show.
I agree. 347-637-3859. I'm going to call in. Vaughn Hogan was already a megastar going into WrestleMania 3. He was the franchise star since WrestleMania 1. But people will say that, you know, financially he became a megastar, bigger after that point.
Yeah, but if, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. I guess another example. All right, so going into that, I forgot the number, but WrestleMania when Hogan fought The Rock, right? I forgot what number that was in that main event. So going into it, you know, I mean, it was more like you're looking at The Rock. You know, Rock's going to take still the show. He's going to, you know, put on a great performance. But, you know, the fans dictated what was going on in that match. And also Hogan as a wrestler was surprising. Like he pulled off moves that I haven't seen him pull off in a while.
Years.
And, right. And years, right? So that propelled, you know, Vince and the boys to say, you know what, let's go back to Hulkamania. You know what I mean? Because he put on a show. His performance dictated, okay, let's go a different direction. So I guess that's what I'm saying. Like that's what Mania brings to the table.
347-637-3859. WrestleMania, guys. Raw after Mania tonight. I'm excited and I'm nervous. Last year I said I don't really particularly like WrestleMania crowds, right? And the Raw after Mania crowds, because those crowds are not the crowds you're gonna get the other 365 shows of the year. Namely, right? These crowds are European crowds, they're mixed with wrestling. It's just the crowd is different. And so we built, I would say that because I was there, and I just like giving myself a Barry Horowitz. You know, we built the Yes Chant at WrestleMania 28, all right? We were the first real Raw at the Mania when Brock Lesnar came back after Mania. That's when it all started. Just, it's not me. It's just facts, you know. Delaware built the John Cena Slugs Chant, right? Right at B-Dubs on Route 40. Sure, facts. True story. Okay, took the Philadelphia and it took off from there when it was on TV. Just saying, you know? Just saying. So I was like saying stuff like that, guys. You don't have to get all like, oh God, they go Mike Knox again. Sorry. I'm sorry. I've been a part of some big influential things in wrestling, okay? I'm sorry. If you go get a John Cena DVD, I'm on it. Just saying. I'm on it. Pretty much guarantee it. Okay? So 347-637-3859. Tonight though, I don't care what happens. I know that I'm gonna be entertained. I would like only thing I want to see, and I don't think is going to happen, is Velveteen Dream get called up. That's all. I don't want to see the New Day break up in any way. That's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see one of them become jealous. And if they did, I would just be okay with it, to be honest with you as well, because it'd give Kofi a story. You know, and they say, what was next? Well, you're getting that. So what do you want to see from Raw after Mania tonight there, Micah?
You know what? I want to really, really see. The first thing I want to see is either Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey come out and complete that, because something tells me they're going to try to put a bow on that tonight. Another thing I want to see, I want to see Drew McIntyre be really ticked off and actually, like, I know they're probably going to do some 50-50 booking, but I actually want him to, like, put Roman on the shelf, storyline-wise, because I think that will set up a good thing with Drew, good thing with Seth, and he's beating Seth. Like, he's beating Seth straight up, and I think that will set up some future things that we always talk, you know, the future stuff that I have in mind, because Drew freaking McIntyre, this iteration of Drew McIntyre, to pass up on what he brings to the table.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
This is not Chosen One McIntyre. It's certainly not damn 3MB McIntyre. This dude is freaking amazing. He oozes everything you need, pause, to make a WWE champion who can take the mantle for what Brock Lesnar has been for you and be the guy who someone special has to overcome. And I would like to see that. But really, I'm really interested in the heat that Baron Corbin is going to draw. Because is it we don't like you because you're a heel heat? Is it as the people who say X-Pac heat, which I still don't know what the hell that is, or is it we really just don't want you around. So now we're going to do the ultimate disservice to any kind of wrestler, any kind of entertainer, any kind of performer. We're just going to be silent and dead.
No, they're never. They're going to drown him.
They're
out
not going to be
way,
dead, though.
Brock, the way that Roman Reigns' best promo of all time was. Remember that? 8 minutes of silence.
Oh, gosh.
Now, I don't think
my, it's my dog now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think so.
Ooh,
but
boy.
To me, Baron Corbin's a really good talker. To me, I think Baron Corbin's a good talker.
Corbin is a decent talker. He knows how to trash talk. I mean, he was really good at his feud with The Miz when it came to just going back and forth, that social media banter. He was good in that. I just want him to change the stupid outfit.
Gosh. Worry about the New Day. They won't split up for now, at least until they inflate a 3-disc DVD set coming from them. Twitter.
Yeah,
everybody.
They won't. They can't. I don't think the New Day is stronger together than they are apart. Kofi being a solo act on his own, that time has passed, and they could have made him strong on his own. But stupid. Randy Orton was a key member in making sure that didn't happen. So at the time, but as together now, it's good to make him a strong stable again. Huh?
You see Randy's tweet to congratulate him?
Yeah, with the hashtag super at the end of it. So
yeah,
Randy is he's hilarious, man. He's hilarious.
Really good on here. But listen,
before we go, I would like to see them get the tag team. I would like to see a mid card title. Like they can start. It's okay for them to now dominate all the titles.
He double hot to give the title to those guys, the Raw tag team titles. I'm sorry, that was the only thing about
Randy. Hawkins and Ryder.
That was
Hawkins and Ryder. That didn't happen on the main card, so it doesn't count.
No, it didn't. So listen, but my man said if that's what we're going to get from now on to WrestleMania, we got a heck of a night in front of us, and he was wrong. So they got that out the way, so we couldn't poop on that. So we got a good team. But
before
we got
Hawkins and Ryder, they won.
All that stuff you're not supposed to care about the pre-show.
They did good for them. I kind of wanted them to win. I wanted them to win.
And shout out to Kofi Kingston. Let me shout out to the New Day. Shout out to Ronda Rousey's husband, Brown, Travis Brown. Shout out to Dash Wilder and all the guys that jumped quickly in the ring when the idiot fan attacked Bret Hart. Take it from here, guys. If you jump in this ring with these world-class humans, you're going to get your ass beat.
They don't beat that ass.
They wore him out. The security was non-existent.
See?
Man, they should have took him into the locker room and gave him a good kangaroo court execution.
That's what I'm saying. That's what Russ was talking about. These fans are reckless now. That's what Russ was talking about. These fans are reckless, and people keep complaining. People keep saying that Russ is out of he's out of line. I'm telling you, these fans are reckless. They think they can do anything.
Saying like Russell Westbrook said. And I know people got on him. I made fun of him a little bit. Because but he was honest. Like,
I was 100% with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook deserved to say that to the dude and his wife. You want some equal rights? Cool. Here's some equal rights and lefts. You're going to go ahead and be respectful. Otherwise, you're going to get the consequences. No one is resolved for consequences in any sport and entertainment venue. Okay?
Agreed.
Keep your goddamn hands to yourself. No one's there to see you heckle. Boo like you're supposed to, like normal fans. Be smart. You know, boo when they lose at the foul line and stuff. But you throwing out, like, his personal baby mama information, you're a horrible human being and you deserve to get a foot up your daggone hot pots.
Hold on. 347-637-3859. Wally, I want a belt race from you on WrestleMania, brother.
I will. Let me watch all of it. I'm gonna try to watch all of it tomorrow, so I can get a fair grade, and I'll give it to you on Friday because that's not fair. I want to watch it. I mean, all I saw was Shane's fight. I want to see the rest of it.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think I can't. I want to get. It's incomplete. That's not fair. It's not fair. Any wrestling fan for me to give a grade out on something I didn't see all of it. But I am interested in seeing the whole thing, though.
All right, don't go bypassing this time like I know you do with movies sometimes, because Shazam was amazing, okay? Shazam was all that.
Was it really?
I
saw DMX last
night,
so you know I could.
And I took my kids to see it again. Yeah, I know. You used the DMX.
Yeah,
I'm
you know.
I mean, I'm saying. Like, I don't know. For me, DMX would have been wouldn't have been a wrestling thing for me. I'd have picked on the night of the night of WrestleMania. DMX, I'm happy.
That's my dude, man. That's my dude.
I want to talk about this though. Thank wrestling fans. Thank you. You can hear more on Perfect Flex Talk Radio and on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/thegameb1. But the NCAA tournament tonight, guys. Who you guys going with here? Are you going with Texas Tech, Wally, or are you going with Virginia?
That's a good one, man. I want to go. I'm going Virginia because I said they were the favorites within the Final Four teams. But you know, Texas Tech, they strap, man. Like they strap up. Like the way they play defense is on a whole different level. I've never seen that type of defense. Virginia plays defense, but they play more of a ball control offense. That's why their defense kind of looks better than what it is. It's a decent, it's a good defense, but Texas Tech, they are actual strapping defense, and they run the court. So it's not like their offense helps that scoreboard be to a low score. They strap. The reason why the score is low is because they strap. So it should be a low scoring game, but I think Guy and Jerome may be a little bit too much for Texas Tech.
I'm going the opposite. Give me Texas Tech to win 72-61.
Oh, you got them scoring 70-60? Oh, snap.
Yeah. 72-61. You know I'm always a hype train, right? I mean, yeah. I was called on my hype train, so let me go ahead and continue to hype things up, right?
Yeah.
More like it's probably 68-64. Right. Okay, but for the benefit of those with flash photography or voice boxes, you know, give me 72-61.
No, it's going to be close, man. It's going to be. I think it'll be a very close game.
Into the fourth, we're going to be 10 points.
It's going to be a close game. 10 is not bad. It's still going to be a very competitive game. I just hope the officiating is a little bit better. I mean, this tournament has had a bunch of bad officiating throughout the tournament, not just the Final Four. Throughout the tournament. It's been bad. It was a foul. Like, as a shooter, it was a foul. Like, he didn't jump up straight.
Let me rephrase that.
Because it hindered the shot. It hindered the shot. Because if it did hinder the shot, I would have a problem. Actually, you know, people compare it to what happened with Carson Edwards for Purdue. Carson Edwards stuck his foot out. Like, he didn't get fouled to me because he stuck his foot out. He tried to get fouled. What I respect about Guy, and I'm not a Virginia fan, what I respect about Guy is Guy wasn't trying to get fouled. He got fouled. Like, that's what I like. I like when players go about their shots. Like, they're trying to make the shot. Like, Guy was trying to make the shot.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he was trying to make the shot. The dude jumped into Guy. Guy went to his normal motion, shot the ball up. Dude jumped into it and hit his lower legs, therefore messing up his shot, took off his balance. What happened with Carson Edwards, he was trying to get fouled. Like, if you watch that play on that side, like, he stuck his foot out trying to get fouled. That's why I respect Guy for it, and he got fouled in that shot. The issue should have been the double dribble. That's basic. You call it double dribble. Like, that's basic. Like, I saw it in real time. I was like, he doubled. Like, he wasn't supposed to pick it up and dribble the ball. That's basic. But, again, these officials have been kind of a joke throughout the tournament to me.
Micah, the home state, Virginia, who you got, Virginia or Texas Tech?
I'm going to UVA. I mean, that's I'm going to home team. Especially since they share the same.
They share the same couples as my university.
So, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and ride with UVA. Plus, I mean, I like them when it comes. It's the weirdest thing. When it comes to the football season, I'm a Virginia Tech fan only. And when it comes to basketball season, I'm a UVA fan. And with Buzz Williams leaving Virginia Tech, I made the right choice. I'm sticking with UVA for basketball. I think one of the things that should be a concern is that, as Wally pointed out, is that Texas Tech, they run. And for UVA, the teams that they struggled the most with defensively have been teams that run the floor. So I noticed that their transition defense isn't as good as their half court defense. And like Wally said, they do a ball control offense, things that I'm learning along the way. So I expect this game to be in the 60s. And I expect it to be a 5 point or less win because it's going to come down to free throws. And I think it's going to come down to free throws and fouling. So, man, Texas is really tall. Like, everyone's Kevin Durant size out there. Like, God dang. I mean, everyone's freaking huge, and that's really hard to deal with. I was watching the Texas Tech Michigan State game, they were getting blocked.
It was the LSU team that had Tyrus Thomas all of a sudden become a lottery pick from it, and that's what I'm hoping
for.
Yeah,
that's a good comparison. That's a good comp. That's a very good comp. They remind me. That's a very good comp. They do kind of remind me of that team. They're athletic. again, they and the way they play ball screens in terms of making everybody work defensively, I mean offensively, excuse me, they're very impressive. Like, as a guy who, you know, has watched, grew up watching Georgetown basketball with Coach Thompson, the way they play defense and how aggressive they are, and they're really tough, it really impresses me. Like, and I wouldn't be surprised if Virginia loses this game. I mean, if you look at Texas Tech or the teams they've beaten in this tournament, like, Michigan can score, and they strap Michigan down, like Michigan State with Michigan. They beat – Michigan State is tough. Like, they're a tough team, and they punked Michigan State. I'm sorry, Izzo, it is what it is. You got punked. That team was physical. You know, like, so when you look
– I like hearing that from you because you're an Izzo guy.
Yeah, I like Izzo. I think Izzo is a great – he's a phenomenal coach. But, you know, Beard and that team and those kids, like, they out Michigan State, Michigan State. And when you look at this team going against Virginia, what I like about – for Virginia's sake is that these are two defensive-minded teams. So it's not like they're playing against, say, the Duke Blue Devils, who love to run and love to be in transition and always wants to score that way. This team, too, in Texas Tech – will allow you to stay in the game because they're so defensively oriented in terms of what they want to do. So that will keep Virginia in the game. Now, that's going to all be dependent on if Guy is hitting shots and if Jerome is hitting shots at Hunter, who's the best NBA prospect. If he shows out, then they're in good shape. He has to really show out. But if he doesn't show out, you're putting a lot on Guy and Hunter to get their shots. I mean, Guy and Jerome to get their shots off, because, again, this Texas Tech team straps. And I think it's going to be hard for them to get off, knowing that, you know, knowing what they have to go against with that Texas Tech defense.
Well, I'm excited about tonight. I want to see tonight. I'm going with Texas Tech only because I think they're going to win. But I hope Virginia does win. I think it'd be a great story to have Virginia, you know, losing that 16 seed, you know,
agreed,
last year being the first team to come back to that. That'd really atone for that in a sense. I mean, not for some of the kids who are gone and not there now, but the kids that stayed around and a lot of those, this roster.
Most of the kids are still there.
Last year.
Right. Yeah, most of the kids are still there.
So just to be good
with you
in that program. And I like Charlottesville, Virginia. I've been there plenty of times where I was there when the Cubs clinched the pennant to go to the World Series. So I was literally on that campus working the Taylor Swift concert. So I always have a part of my heart for Charlottesville, Virginia. I was there all the time with my job. Remember, I was driving back and forth.
Yeah.
I'm at the AirTrain. I'm at the Amtrak. So that was pretty good. But this conversation over the weekend, y'all, I thought was hilarious. So The Athletic is a publication that a lot of the NBA players are, you know, entwined with and give their feedback on. So they've had a series of votes go around, right? And one of the votes I thought was the best vote, I'm going to bring it up, even though we're not going to talk about it, is who's the greatest of all time vote, right? And Kobe's 2 percentage points behind LeBron for a distant second to Michael Jordan. People thought it was fascinating because they thought that years ago, when speaking at players, that the players were leaning towards LeBron, and now they have a chance to vote in private or not have to be spoken. They can do what they feel, I guess. They're voting for Michael Jordan, even Kobe Bryant, who has gotten more popular since he's retired from the league. What I thought was alarming most on the list was Kareem at 1% or at 3%, and then like Allen Iverson and Magic Johnson at 1%. I thought that was crazy. But one of the other votes that they were doing was, Who would you rather start an NBA franchise with? Giannis leads the pack. I thought that was crazy that Giannis and Joel Embiid leads the pack. And who you would start a franchise with. The most overrated players, they had Westbrook. They had LeBron James, which is crazy on that list to me. They also had Philadelphia's Benny Simmons, the most overrated players in the NBA, which I think all this is crazy. But this one I thought was funny. Who was the best two guard of all time next to Michael Jordan? Or who was a better player? Was it Paul Pierce or was it Dwayne Wade?
Yep, well, this is after the buzzer, and there's been some traction in the social media space regarding one Paul Pierce. Your earlier comments this evening that your NBA career was, in fact, better than Dwayne Wade's has apparently ruffled some feathers.
I'm going to need some McDonald's
around
fries
the sports universe. I mean, we've gotten responses from some NBA players. Dwayne Wade has retweeted.
Oh, D-Wade did too?
But you know what? Let me present some numbers in the form of full screens. That's
right.
TV talk. And then maybe we can have a discussion. Here we go. Paul, nearly four times as many threes as Dwayne Wade.
Jesus.
shot a higher percentage. Okay, there's one. Dwayne Wade's got the slight edge in win percentage. He's won 56% of his game. You've won 56. And on shots to take the lead in the final 10 seconds of the game, my personal favorite, you went 15 of 69, and Wade has gone 15 of 69, including tonight. Wow.
I mean,
you were obviously in the pre-digital era, and I think that
absolutely. That's where I do suffer. People don't remember, only remember my big three era.
Right.
People forget early 2000s, my matchups with the New Jersey Nets, Jason Kidd, Allen Iverson in game five, the closeout series, 45 in the closeout game, Indiana series, 28 in the second half. I have a lot of people don't see.
You have some highs, a lot of highs.
A lot of stuff. Now, the people didn't get a chance to see this before Twitter and Instagram, so that's why I say go to YouTube, poke in some of those dates, early 2000s, Paul Pierce.
You know what?
And since,
you should just start posting them on your own.
And since Dwayne Wade isn't here to defend his honor, I'm here.
No, props out to Dwayne Wade. Magnificent.
No, it's my turn. Don't backtrack. He's made all NBA first team twice. Paul hasn't done it. He made all NBA eight times to your four.
Ooh.
He's made all defensive team three times to your zero.
Ooh, zero. That's rough.
He's won one scoring title. You weren't able to win a scoring title.
That's too bad.
He has three rings. You have one ring.
Ooh, three is bigger than one. What are
we doing? He's just a hype man over there, huh? Just a hype man.
I don't have a horse to drink.
I mean, we had a lot of
courtesy of ESPN, that right there. Wally, who's better? Does Paul Pierce have a leg to stand on? Because am I the guy? I want to know for you, to be honest. You know me, you go back and forth. Sometimes I know you think sometimes like I'd be a wild boy. Am I wrong for thinking Paul has an argument? Like, my thing be this. Like, I put up, for instance, right, DX over NWO.
Yeah.
You did your infamous gift of LeBron getting up walking to the press conference. Everybody thought I was bugging out, right? Yes, I was at Hall of Fame. I was feeling myself. But I do truly believe that they were. We can have that debate.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was laughable. And people say, oh, my God, get off the weed. What are you on? Like, I didn't think it was laughable. I don't think this is laughable to think that Paul Pierce, is he a better NBA player than did he have a point? If I played with LeBron – we got together when we were old.
Yeah.
Right? He played when I was 5, KG 36. He said, what happened next? He said, we won the first year together. Next year, everybody got hurt.
Yeah.
Said, KG, this half a year, Perkins got hurt in the finals. Like, does he have a point?
He has a point that they're not – I mean, he put it this way. They're not as far as people want to make them out to be, but I think Dwayne Wade's a better player than Paul Pierce. I think he's a better overall player than Paul Pierce because you can play defense. Paul Pierce was never the greatest defender. When Doc got there, he got better as a defender, but he was never the best defender. But I'm with Paul Pierce. Like, watch the clips when he was younger. Like, go to YouTube. He's correct because we forget how good Paul Pierce was. Like, I remember that series, the series he was talking about against the Nets. I remember that series. That's truth be told. That's what I thought. That's where I found out that Paul Pierce was that dog. Like, I saw him in Kansas. I watched him a little bit in Boston. But when I watched that Nets series, like, when I watched that, because him and Jason Kidd were going back and forth, and Antoine Walker was no-showing, but Paul Pierce, as a youngin', was dropping buckets, I was like, yo, this dude is the truth. Forget what – he is the truth. So – I'm with Paul Pierce in this aspect. I think people are diminishing his legacy in basketball. I think Draymond Green is one dude who did it too. Like, he's short. He pretty much, like, disrespected Paul Pierce's legacy the way he was talking about him on that retirement tour. Like, you forget how good Paul Pierce was. Like, some of these dudes who talk trash about Paul Pierce – play Paul Pierce when he was a youngin, and I guarantee he gives you buckets, and I guarantee that you wouldn't be close to Paul Pierce. But we're comparing him to Dwayne Wade. Paul Pierce is an arrogant dude. He thinks he's better than a lot of people, and he's supposed to. He's an alpha. He's an alpha dog mentality. He would tell you he's better than Kobe. He's an alpha dog mentality. That's the type of dude he is. But is he better than D Wade? I don't think he's better than D Wade. No, but I think he has a valid argument to say, like, if you gave me Shaq, if you gave me LeBron, then let's talk about it. But it's unfortunate that he never had that. He had, you know, he did play with Ray Allen and Garnett,
and he got a championship. But it's unfortunate.
Ask Ray Allen who was better. Remember, Ray Allen left and went to Miami.
Yeah,
to Miami.
That's a good point, too. That's a good, I mean, but if you judging Paul Pierce in his prime, like his real prime, and playing with somebody like LeBron or like a Shaq, yeah, I can say that Paul Pierce would have won a championship and he would be better, but you never know. You know what I mean? Like, Penny and Shaq were together. They didn't win a championship. I think they would have if they stayed together, but they didn't. You know what I mean? So it's like you feel bad for Paul Pierce, but at the end of the day, you got to look at for what it is. Like, Dwayne Wade, he a stud, man. He clutch. He drops buckets. He's a finals MVP.
They're both finals
and
MVP.
I know they both
same,
are. Well, I'll
they have
say
the exact
this.
Same record with buckets and game winners.
I'll say
15
this.
And 59, that seems like a lot of misses.
Yeah, it is a lot of, but you know, Jordan said that, and Kobe, you know, a lot of those, they miss a lot of shots, but you only remember your successes, right? When you look at, I'll say this about Paul Pierce, his NBA Finals MVP, you could have gave that to Ray Allen. Like, I remember that. You could have gave it to Ray Allen, but you gave it to Paul Pierce. Like, that one was in the air. Like, that was, it could have went either way. I will say the, like, Dwayne Wade, when he beat Dallas, that was Dwayne Wade. Like, he took over that series. Like, he took over that series. It wasn't like Shaq was taking over. Like, Dwayne Wade took over that series. So, if you want to compare, like, their finals performances, Dwayne Wade's finals performance is better than Paul Pierce's final performance for the MVP.
347-637-3859. Micah Lee. Emmy Richmond on the Twitter. I like to say that I like to believe you got a good point there. You got a good point. But I can't feel sorry for Paul Pierce. He played for the Boston Celtics. I just can't.
Yeah.
I agree. You play for the Celtics, dog. I have zero cares about your thought process of you being unfairly justified. But, hey, I do think you're the best thing in Boston when Boston had nothing after Larry Bird in them. And that I do believe. And I do believe everything he said is true. But I don't think you're a better player than Dwayne Wade. Micah, your thoughts?
Let's see here. Just like I told you when it came to your DX versus NWO conversation, and I'm talking about a good NWO. I ain't talking about when NWO was half of WCW. That was stupid. Put down the weed, Paul Pierce. You must be smoking some special kind of cannabis, bro, because even this basketball casual fan, watching you growing up and watching you do your occasional explosions, didn't see the same level of consistency as I saw with Dwayne Wade. And Dwayne Wade was like a more compact Russell Westbrook that actually knew how to shoot. So I was watching this dude explode everywhere on the floor, pause, and do his thing. And just like any other individual star, you know, got to be careful with people these days. Just like any other individual star, you know, and a guy who elevates himself to superstar status, they all need help. Jordan needed help. Bird needed help. Magic needed help. They all needed help to win a championship. Nobody really won multiple championships as a solo act. Very few, if anyone, have done
Allen
that.
Allen Iverson is so overlooked. And that's why he is overlooked because Allen's legitimately
– Allen Iverson's final squad, and like I think LeBron James' first final squad are probably like the two worst NBA finals teams ever.
I disagree. I will always argue that LeBron had a team. That's just me.
He didn't have a team.
I think LeBron may have had a better team than Iverson's squad, but
LeBron may have had a better team than Iverson's squad. Yeah, I agree with that.
Shaquille O'Neal or not?
That doesn't count. That's Shaq Rogan done. Stop it. Stop it. That Shaq wasn't even good. That's just a name. That's like the Skins getting Mark Curry when he was done. But that wasn't the same Mark Curry in Chicago. That's the same thing.
That's even I know that much, Mike. Come on now.
I'm sorry.
It's just a name.
If Nick Wright can always hold him up on the pedestal, I can always kick that pedestal from underneath of him. Okay?
I feel you. But I will say Mike is right, though.
Him and Colin Cowherd are ball sack swingers of LeBron James.
I don't like Colin Cowherd. But I listen and some of the stuff like people don't like what else Fox was oh my God, what's his name? Big guy. Next
Bill Mallard.
Not
Ben Mallard.
Oh, you mean black guy? Big fat? You talking about Jason Whitlock?
Jason Whitlock.
Yeah, I hate Jason Whitlock.
Jason Whitlock
makes you hit him.
Jason Whitlock is Mike Knox. He says when he doesn't care if you're black or white. If you do something wrong, he's going to call you out. And a lot of black journalists do not call out black athletes. And I understand.
That's true.
As being a black person, I should not bring the negativity of other black people. I do agree.
I think he goes out his way, though.
But
I think he goes. I mean, don't get wrong. I think he does.
The point is,
he
out.
Does.
Right.
He goes on his. I feel like he does call out stuff, and that you're supposed to. But I think he goes out of his way on other, like, to go a different angle with it. Put it that way. Like,
that's
you're supposed to call out everybody. Yeah, it's persona. That's what he likes to.
That's what he does.
And he knows everybody.
That's his entertainment aspect. Yeah.
Yeah, and which I don't like about him. You know what I mean? Like, I used to hate Skip Bayless. Now he's kind of like growing on me. I don't hate Skip as much anymore.
Skip Bayless is doing that whole thing where he does the white guilt thing. Will have to tell us. That's why a lot of black people like him now, because he's all Mr.
Kane,
white guilt, where he talks about race.
Will Kane.
You're right. You know what? That's probably what it is. I think that's what
Will
it is.
Jason Whitlock and Colin Cowherd are three people that I can listen to every day that I do.
You
listen to
Will Kane?
I can.
Oh, okay. I got you.
I can listen.
Will Kane was an idiot on some stuff, but he got some stuff.
I told you, my founding father, like I told you, is I'm a Jim Rome guy who follows the same umbrella as Bill Maher.
I like Jim Rome.
I mean,
I like Jim Rome.
Joe Maher over right? So I like Jim Rome. I'm a big Stephen A. fan. I know people don't like Stephen A.
I don't like Stephen A.
Dick has worn thin. I'll be honest to say that, right?
Yeah.
But I'm a Dan Patrick guy. But after that, I'm a huge.
Yeah, I don't like Michael Wilbon anymore.
I'm a huge Steve Saban guy. I'm a huge Saban guy.
You a Saban guy?
You
like Steve Saban?
You know what? When I was working the job before I found out what I wanted to do, and I was driving around, I would I drove for PPG Auto Glass, right?
Uh-huh.
And we would go towards the DMV area. So my channels would change in the Philadelphia area. So instead of listening to WIP, I would get whatever channel. And I was like, yo, I'm loving this guy, and he's a wrestling fan. Right? I'm like, and he likes wrestling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm like, yo,
Saban likes wrestling.
Saban and his crew are wrestling fans.
Oh, yeah. I know the crew was wrestling fans.
That's why I started listening more.
Where I get things from, I always say that's Nietzsche's, right? Because I think people lie and say they don't steal things from people. That's a lie.
Yeah, it's a lie.
I, I'm very
that's
good
lie.
What I do. If I hear something, I definitely will say I'm taking that. Okay.
Okay.
I stole Lock It Up, Steve Saban.
Yeah.
Because
it's right.
He doesn't
lock it up
that way. He does.
Yeah, he says
lock.
I know you're talking about.
He does with Randall from the Vikings. Block, you know. And so I was like, I like that. I stole it. I changed a little bit. I added it to myself. The Best Damn Show on Radio, BDSR Networks, wasn't mine. That was a play on the Best Damn Sports Show.
Oh, I love that show. I used to love that show.
With Arnold and Pete and John Sally, that's what my ambition was.
The original cast. The original cast, yeah.
That's where I got the idea for where Barbershop Talks meets radio, from those guys. And now look at LeBron stole my idea. I literally seen a podcast on Facebook the other day that said Barbershop Talk. And I took me an hour, but I went back and I had to comment. I said, hey, have you heard of this show? We've had 2,000 episodes. So you stole your name. I didn't say you stole your name. I said, hey, check out this show where Barbershop Talk meets radio. And the guy put a laughing emoji back on it. So, you know, had to get it out there. But moving on, I want to get through today because we got to get out of here, y'all. WrestleMania was today. My emotions are all over the place. Didn't take my son to practice today. Then I'm looking outside. It's raining. So I'm like, yes, I'm off the hook, right, because he missed practice today. But best and worst of the weekend. Worst of the weekend was my son and them going out there playing on Saturday. Yeah, I make fun of them, yo, because I'm making fun of Little League Baseball in a sense, right? I love Little League. My wife said to me, besides hearing me on air and seeing me, you know, do my thing like at the Fight Night events and things where, she thinks she calls it working the room. Just that, I just don't get that tone of, I'm not working anybody. I'm just in my air, in my zone. She says she never sees me enjoy nothing more than when I'm with Little League Baseball. So I'm the parent that cheers for both teams.
Good.
Like, yo,
oh,
good,
really?
Good slide. Yo, good slide.
Both teams.
Yo, that fucking pitch. Yo, y'all see that pitcher? Yo, y'all better back up for both teams. It doesn't matter. I love Little League Baseball. Right?
That was that.
And so, but these parents always cheer for Michael when he does stuff, right? They do it for every kid, but, you know, for my kid, it's my kid, I can pick on my kid. And I'm like, parent that's like, you ain't do nothing. That's another play coming, right? And they'd be like, oh, come on, Mike. I'm like, no, that's not what he caught the ball. He's supposed to catch the ball. This ain't soccer where he scored a goal. Yeah, he scored a goal. That's rare and few in soccer, right, to score goals. But to make an out, hit, that's a, you're, if the ball is hit to you on the ground, you're supposed to scoop it up and throw it to first base. If the ball is hit in the air, you're supposed to catch it. I'm not congratulating him for that, people. I'm not.
Okay? They sound like participation trophy parents. Oh.
Right? So he made this one play, though, where he was pitching, the pop fly was like a foul, like going to the foul territory, and he ran and literally slid on his knees to catch the ball. And I said, okay, you finally made a good play. All right, stop smiling now. Let's get back to playing baseball. Right? That's all I can take with him. I'm serious, like, because he has the potential of being good, but he did the one thing, Wally, and Michael, you're going to see this when your son that you wait for, and you coach watch, you know what I mean? When that kid finally gets it, and that, when I mean gets it, that means wants to win.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, that's a great feeling. It is.
No longer he's playing to play. He's no longer playing because I think he's trying to impress me. He actually got mad at losing. Not mad like tantrum. That's just, I build better men than that. But like, was disappointed in his outing. And I'm like, yo, I told him, I said, yo, I've never been more proud of you.
Yes,
he finally understood what it meant to go out there and try to win the game. And that's all I wanted him to do. Okay, but that was my worst of the weekend. They got, because the number one team in the league had never lost. Like, let me get my LeVar Bono. Never lost. 1-1 undefeated, right? They tied them. So they came into the Saturday's game on the trash and got smashed. Okay? And I told them, that's a joke. I did. I thought, I thought it was hot stuff. You okay?
Yeah, I thought y'all felt yourselves a little bit too much, right?
I heard the dugout. It was like, yo, if we could tie that team and they ain't been tied all year, oh, we could easily beat the Diamondbacks. They went out there. I was like, that was something. You know what I'm saying? That was
just, yeah.
So that was best of the weekend. Best of the weekend was clearly Kofi Kingston winning the title, hanging out with my family, watching Shazam. And just overall, man, like WrestleMania, that for me, every year, it never truly really disappoints. For me, like, cause I'm happy every year because it's there. It's my birthday. Next to my birthday and Christmas, it's WrestleMania for me. And at this point, at the age I am becoming, it's probably more important than my birthday. At this point, it's like, yep, you told me I'd be dead at 16, 17, I'd be dead by 25, and I'm 40 something. You know what I'm saying? So that's what makes me feel good about that whole scenario. But best and worst of the weekend for you, Wally.
Best of the weekend, obviously. For me, was going seeing my man DMX perform with a bunch of my friends. You know, it's always good being around people. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're in your downtimes at times, and you know they kind of uplift you. Worst of the weekend. I don't think I had a bad thing happen to me this weekend, so I can't complain.
I must say you missed WrestleMania, Mike.
I'm gonna catch it. So I'm good.
Micah,
yeah, I want to start with my worst. My worst was sadly gaining 5 pounds back off this fantastic diet I'm doing. Like, it's great. And so I cheated like one day, and all of a sudden I gained 5 pounds. Like, I was like, wow, this thing really works when I discipline myself. But God dang, I can't cheat. So I'm gonna make sure
I get that way right back, Wally. Started eating.
Say what?
I ain't gonna lie, yo. You know how that is when you get that money back the government owe you. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you, it was sad.
Don't let that happen,
man. Best of the weekend, WrestleMania weekend. Like, you know, we had of all the wrestling that happened, the best and most fantastic moment was the Gargano match on Friday. The Gargano NXT Championship match on Friday, Kofi Kingston and Becky Lynch winning on Sunday. Those were three really serious great moments that we had over the course of the weekend, and a lot of payoffs for babyfaces. A lot of good payoffs for babyfaces.
I call it Facemania.
Yeah.
For one, listen,
Facemania,
a couple months back.
I know, pause that. Whoa,
I kinda,
whoa.
Yeah, I said, it's like, come on, I was up. all night. Come on, I'm a DX fan, baby. Face with Mania. I'm calling it what it is. We shot our shot, and it was money, okay? So, like, couple months back, remember the WWE said they were going to change the landscape. They were going to give fans what they wanted, right? That's really what they said. And we fought and said, no, they're not. They haven't changed anything. They did exactly that, to be honest. If you look at every single match last night, with the exception of Kurt Angle, right? Everybody the fans wanted to win, majority of, because fans are always split, won last night. I wanted Charlotte, but I understood Becky. I understand the Iconics. I understood AJ Styles over Randy Orton. The Usos, curb stomp three times, Brock Lesnar's gone, ding dong, the witch is there. Shout out to Paul Heyman. If we're not the main event, then we're getting out of this dump early. Okay? Everything about WrestleMania from a fan's perspective was in the what fans had been complaining and asking for. The best of the week was WrestleMania. And I'm going to leave you guys with this, guys, and thank everybody for tuning in and participating. A live from the stadium, okay? Friend of the program from the Wrestling Wrestle Rumble. They are on Facebook, Instagram, on Twitter. They are wrestling fantasy thing where, like, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not going to read what he gave me because I don't do that kind of stuff, right? You like wrestling? Well, then you think you can guess who wins these matches? Well, put a certain amount of dollars in, see these matches. If they win the way you want them to win, they give you scenarios. And if you win, you get a WWE title belt of your choice half the time. And it's legitimate, okay? This is legitimate. This is what they do. So courtesy of them being there live audio from inside of MetLife Stadium, y'all, and I'll leave you with this. Do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me, and don't love God. Black excellence, Kofi Kingston.